This is Business Beat. Welcome. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll listen to some financial advice from former U.S. Treasurer Ana Cabral.
When I finally did learn a little bit about it, it's not that hard. It's just that you've got to be exposed to the concepts.
But first, the pork business, which certainly has its challenges. Hog farmers continually grapple with high feed prices, environmental hiccups, and criticism from animal welfare groups. But some producers are creating a path to profitability by pursuing smaller, more specialized markets. From Iowa, Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer has the story of Eden Farms.
Iowa farmer Randy Hillman started with hogs as a kid in 4-H, and he's raised them ever since. But 15 years ago, he altered course.
Well, after the crash, the hog market crash in 98, and pigs went to 8 cents a pound, and everybody was losing money.
He and some others looked for a different way to sell their meat.
One guy decided that it was maybe we could generate more dollars if he could raise the value of certain cuts, and so he took a few pigs in, got them butchered, had chops made, and went down to walk door to door to restaurants and sold chops.
The meat came from Berkshire hogs, a fattier breed. That lowered their value at the local processor, but the farmers found restaurants willing to pay more for this pork. These black and white Berkshire hogs nose open their metal water trough and roam in and out of their hoop building on Hillman's Central Iowa farm. Hillman finishes about 4,000 each year. They go to Des Moines-based Eden Farms, the marketing group he helped form when those early door-to-door chop sales started to take off. All Eden farmers raise Berkshires in hoop houses or with access to pasture. The pigs eat vegetarian feed, and antibiotic use is limited. How farmers really benefit from joining forces, though, is the price structure. Nick Jones is general manager for Eden Farms.
Most of the items aren't really priced on the commodity market. For the most part, it's where we need to sell them for to keep things going for our producers.
First, he says Eden pays farmers a fixed price for their live pigs, typically a little higher than the commodity price. Then Eden sells the various cuts, and every quarter the farmers get dividends from Eden's profits. Other producer groups, including the much bigger Nyman Ranch, are similarly leveraging their hogs' specific traits into higher and more consistent prices. Who's paying the premium for this meat? High-end restaurants in big cities, for one.
So the traditional process would have been winter, spring, summer, and that's pretty much the way our building's laid out.
And specialty producers, including Herb Eckhouse, who wears a hairnet and lab coat to walk through the plant at La Quercha, his Norwalk, Iowa prosciutto and cured meats company. Eckhouse sells traditional Italian-style products made right here from Midwestern pigs. He's doing very well. Eckhouse has high expectations for how the hogs are raised. He visits farms.
We recognize that it's not sustainable agriculture if the farmer goes out of business.
Eckhouse asks the farmers what they need to earn. They agree on prices that only change once or twice a year. The pigs still eat corn, the price of which still fluctuates, but the strategy aims to insure against input spikes and market freefalls. No wonder, then, new farmers regularly ask Eden Farms about joining. But Iowa State University swine expert Jim McKean says there's a limit to this market.
By and large, that's domestic, local production. So, there are people that are doing that. If they can find a way to make enough money at what they're doing to support themselves, then they're very happily doing it.
Altogether, these alternative producers barely register in national hog sales figures. But that doesn't mean the meat is exclusive to fancy restaurants on the coasts. The football and basketball stadiums at Iowa State sell Eden Farms hot dogs. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
On April 17th, a number of economists and financial experts, including a former U.S. treasurer, came to the University of Missouri to share their knowledge and experience at the 5th Annual Personal Finance Symposium. KBIA's Olga Kustalova attended and has this report.
The theme of this year's forum was Sustainable Family Finance, and by occasion, it took place during MU's Sustainability Week. Robert Wigley is the chair of the Personal Financial Planning Department at MU and one of the symposium organizers. He says an important part of sustainable family finance is transferring knowledge and values to the next generation.
It's not just about transferring money. It's about transferring beliefs and goals and systems of life, then how you transfer all that throughout time, and yeah, oftentimes it is tied to our finances.
Anna Cabral, the U.S. Treasurer under George W. Bush, focused her forum points on spreading financial knowledge and improving financial literacy. She says many people just don't have access to the right information, which can lead to risky financial decisions.
I came from, you know, a home where we had absolutely no knowledge about how to manage money. And it really showed. I mean, my parents were really poor, never put two nickels together. And so I didn't learn it at home. But when I finally did learn a little bit about it, it's not that hard. It's just that you've got to be exposed to the concepts. You know, you have to know how to balance a checkbook, how to create a budget, simple things.
Cabral says it's important not to ignore the problems if they occur. She also says people should do financial checkups, just like a regular health exam with your doctor.
I think you should do a financial checkup every single year and do it on a regular basis and look at how much money is coming in, how much money is going out, what kind of debt do I have, how do I reduce that debt in the most basic ways, what can I do to squeeze a few more pennies out, what are my long-term goals? If I really want to retire and enjoy retirement, shouldn't I start saving fairly young?
As U.S. Treasurer, Cabral worked on the White House Financial Literacy Program. She says it's crucial to make the information accessible to those who need it most. Her message definitely reached some in the audience. Alice Dolbear is a senior at MU.
The most important thing that I learned as a student was to take what we're learning in this closed little room and bring it to the people that don't have access to the information that we've just heard today. And there's so many opportunities for us to do that that sometimes we forget about.
The symposium usually brings about 200 participants. Many of them are MU students studying personal financial planning and consulting. Olga Krustalova, KBIA News.
That's all for Business Beat this week. Don't forget, you can find these stories and other Business Beat stories on KBIA.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.